Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
I've been a strong critic of New York Times when it's needed, when they mess up stories or when they don't do a good job covering issues. This is beyond the pale. I mean, this is Stalinesque rewriting of history to serve a political agenda.
You can support or oppose Vought's nomination, but opposing him because of his theological views is at the very least a violation of the spirit of the Constitution.
The kids have to carry the cross. The adults put the cross down and the children pick it up. That's what divorce means.
Paul says that we participate in the sufferings of Christ. That suffering, Hebrews 12, is a discipline like a father has for a child.
Here's the headline from the Associated Press. Eagle trafficking case busted in undercover operation. 15 indicted. That's a story out of Rapid City, South Dakota, where federal officials there indicted 15 people after they discovered them illegally trafficking in every part of eagles, a protected species. Now, that's a national press story carried by the major news networks, at least on their websites. NBC is the one I'm looking at right now. And it probably should be. So why hasn't the Associated Press, to my knowledge, written anything about the trafficking in human body parts by Planned Parenthood that has been in evidence for, well, at least 2 years now and documented over and over and over again on video with Planned Parenthood officials and employees talking about it openly on undercover video? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the political and media double standard of human decency here in the first half hour with Pastor Jonathan Lang. We'll spend some time a little bit later with Gracie Olmsted of The Federalist, talking about treating our politics like religion and some solutions to that ever-growing divide in American politics. Cheryl Magnus will join us to talk about lessons that she has learned after 30 years of marriage. And we'll be talking with Dr. Adam Francisco about Islam and democracy. Are the two compatible with one another? And if they are, how do we deal with the inevitable problems of who majority Islamic countries choose to elect? Often they're not the ones that we would like to see them elect, but isn't that how democracy works? Joining us to talk about the political and media double standard for human decency on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 21st, Pastor Jonathan Lang. He's pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Evanston, Wyoming, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kemmerer, Wyoming, and leader of the Wyoming Pastors Network. He's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Basic Human Decency Shouldn't Be Political, But It Is. Pastor Lang, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Todd.
Why is it that I can read a national AP story on the harvesting and sale of eagle body parts, but as far as I know, I have yet to read one word printed by the AP about the harvesting and sale of human body parts by Planned Parenthood and their associates?
Well, I think the answer to that question is twofold. There's a political side to it, and that is that the Planned Parenthood has a pretty strong influence in the newsrooms of America, and they've orchestrated a blackout on the reportage from the Centers for Medical Progress for the better part of 2 years. But I think the second part of that answer is found in our own hearts, because how is it that they can get away with a blackout and we don't have this outcry of people standing up and saying, we need to hear this talked about and we need to resolve this matter? Two parts.
How do you respond to someone who says, look, these are political issues, all these social moral things that Christians are concerned about, even up to the point of the harvesting and sale of baby body parts by Planned Parenthood? That's a political issue, and Christians ought to stay out of politics, especially pastors?
Well, I guess I would ask the question, who made it a political issue and when? You know, as I look back on the course of my ministry over the last quarter of a century, there were things that were just, you would go without saying. Nobody in their right mind 25 years ago would have thought anything of a pastor saying that marriage is for a man and a woman, period, end of story. But somewhere along the line, that's now become a political issue. And to say that from the pulpit, there are people who would say, you're politicizing the preaching. Well, no, I'm not politicizing anything, but Satan has certainly politicized it in order to silence it. I think the same thing can be said of abortion, but just simply going back, instead of 25 years, go back 50 years. Would anybody in their right mind have said that a pastor was delving into politics if, say, in the middle 60s, a pastor started talking about that we shouldn't tear apart a baby limb from limb in the womb? You know, obviously not. That's such a no-brainer kind of a thing, but it has been politicized. And the politicization of decency has not happened accidentally and simply by, you know, some political process, which is normal. It's happened by Satan working his way in society. And the church is here to speak the truth to the time and to the place and to the culture. And we need to keep on speaking the truth no matter what devices Satan uses to silence us. Even if that device is to say, stay out of politics, and by the way, this is political.
So tell us the story that got you thinking along these lines or spurred your article for the Federalist about the sale of eagle body parts.
Well, it was just I was thinking about eagles, I guess, and this thing came across the wire. Here in Wyoming, I get the chance every Sunday morning as I'm driving to my Two Point Parish, I get to see golden eagles and bald eagles alongside the road. It's a beautiful thing. And as I'm listening to and reading this story that came out of South Dakota, it just jumped out at me the spiritual language that Mr. Seeler, that would be the Attorney General out of South Dakota, the language that he used to describe the misuse and misappropriation of eagle parts. Let me just read you some of that language. He said, there was no cultural sensitivity, there was no spirituality, there was no tradition in the manner in which these defendants handled these birds. And as I thought about those words and then thought about what actually he was talking about, I realized he wasn't talking about killing birds. He was talking about birds that were found dead alongside the road or wherever, for whatever reason, and that they were then harvested for their parts. And then 2 days later, the Centers for Medical Progress put out the latest video featuring Lamborghini Mary, and I realized that this is exactly the same thing, except now we're dealing with human body parts. So there was no difference in the actual content of the stories, but there was a huge difference in the way that they were handled by the media, and that troubled me.
You also reflect briefly in your piece on how this isn't the first time that people who know better, and in the case of Christians, people who actually believe better, have been cowed into silence over issues just like this, the treatment of human beings.
Yeah, yeah. And it helped me to see that, the fact that the Eagle Parts press conference happened on the first time in a while that two events had coincided. One of them was the remembrance of the Armenian Genocide, which is always remembered on April 24th, and that happened to coincide with the anniversary also of the Holocaust, at which they fell on the same day this year. And I started thinking back to those days, and again, it was an incremental kind of thing, where I'm thinking particularly of the German Christians who were told incrementally by the Nazi administration that this act that we're going to do here is a political act, and you shouldn't say anything about it. Reading the biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, for instance, you know, it was very few German Christians who realized the theology that was at stake when the Nazi party first said that Jewish Christians have to have a separate church from the German Christians. And most people just kind of went along with it. There were very few German Christians who stood up and protested when the Nazi Party said we need to have Nazi flags in the chancels of churches. So again, it was an incremental thing, and what began as simply social and sometimes economic penalties for going against the Zeitgeist eventually became fines and finally imprisonment and death. But it was along a continuum. And it was the Christians took a long time in realizing what was happening. And by the time they realized, it was too late oftentimes to stand up together. And I see the same thing happening in our world today, where people are coming wise to what's happening in dribs and drabs. But to stand up and realize that the things that are happening are thoroughly theological, they are thoroughly attacks on the gospel itself and not simply peripheral issues, we need to stand up and say so. I don't know what effect that will have, but I know that we need to confess.
How would you respond to someone who says, and I've actually heard this occasionally suggested by fellow Lutheran pastors, look, these kind of things may be important, but it doesn't affect me or my parish. And as long as I'm free to preach the gospel on Sunday morning, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to worry about all of those things. I'll let the political system take care of that. How would you respond?
Well, I think there's a couple of different things to say. First of all, this notion that it doesn't affect me or my parish is simply blind to the reality. It is affecting you and your parish right now. I think oftentimes pastors are selfish in seeing that so far nobody is making a law that says I can't preach. But what they're not seeing is their members in the pews who are oftentimes facing forced political conditioning at, if they're, for instance, working for a big corporation that has the political sensitivity training and is forcing them on the job to say things which are not right and to refrain from speaking to their fellow workers about Christian matters and are being penalized at work for simply saying Christian things. I think pastors, first of all, need to be aware that their people are thoroughly under the gun right now already, even if the churches per se are not. The second thing here is that the churches are definitely coming under the gun in many different ways. The last headline that came out of Indiana is that now we have progressives which are trying to pull back the voucher program from any churches or church schools that are not totally on board with the LGBT agenda. But having said those two things, I think there is a third thing. And this happens with really any full understanding of sin. And the reason we stand opposed to sin is not because it hurts me. The reason we stand opposed to sin is because it hurts the sinner. And we need to reclaim that in all sins, not just a few, and recognize that these poor people who are oftentimes caught up in a lifestyle that they cannot escape from, they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and they need us, even if they don't believe they need us, they need us to speak Christ to them, and the only way we can speak Christ to them is if we continue to carve out the freedom to do so.
I think earlier this year, you testified before, I think, the State Senate Ag Committee on two bills, HB 116 and HB 182, that would have prohibited the use of fetal tissue under all circumstances. Tell us about that testimony and the outcome.
Well, yeah, so HB 116 was the one which prohibited the trade in fetal tissues. HB 182 was the ultrasound bill, which required medical providers of any sort to let their patients know that they could see an ultrasound of their baby for free. And so, yeah, we testified on both of those on the same day. The outcome was wonderful, really, for the first time in, I think, 27 years, the state of Wyoming passed some strengthening of our laws to protect women from the abortion industry, and they were passed through both houses and signed into law. The testimony itself was interesting. As you can imagine, it was highly charged and lasted for about 4 hours, back and forth and back and forth. But again, what I was able to bring to the table that nobody else in those 4 hours did is the actual human cost and the human benefits of the bills that we were talking about. And so I told the story of a young lady and of a family that were very nearly forced into an abortion, and yet by the grace of God and by the mechanism of an ultrasound bill, which allowed her to see in private without the influence of those who were forcing her towards abortion, she was able to see the baby and was freed from that spell and from the power and the great benefit to her and her family that the child is born and has been a great benefit to the town, to culture, and to the state of Wyoming.
Does it stun you as a pastor of several decades to even have to testify in favor of a bill that would prohibit the use of fetal tissues and body parts?
I've never thought about that, Todd. I guess it is stunning on reflection, and I should have been stunned far earlier than I was stunned. And I repent of the many years that I spent of not becoming engaged in these issues and not talking to the people that should have been talked to. I think that if we would have stood up and said some of these things 20 and 30 years ago, that we might not be in this position today. So it's a great opportunity that we have. And I know God works together all things for good for those who love Him, keep His commandments. And it's all we want to do is to bring the gospel of life to bear on the world around us and trust that God is going to be converting people to His kingdom and in His name.
Finally, what would you say to someone, and I imagine this counts for many of our listeners, who are deeply discouraged and they're burnt out on the politicization of these issues. They're tired, frankly, mentally and physically, of these things. What word of encouragement would you speak to them about continuing to defend human dignity and the life of the unborn in particular?
I would encourage them, first of all, by saying that the battle is the Lord's. It is Christ who does in His kingdom and in His world as He wishes to do according to His will and His time, and that we should not be discouraged or we should not put all of our eggs in the basket of what we accomplish per se. But rather, Christ in His love for us has given us an opportunity to speak, an opportunity to confess. And that's where our joy is. If we keep our joy centered simply on the opportunity to speak His name in whatever venue opens up to me and let the outcome be His, then I do not get burned out, but rather find joy simply in the speaking and find joy in Christ and His power to do what He's going to do with it.
Pastor Jonathan Lang is pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Evanston, Wyoming, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kemmerer, Wyoming. He's leader of the Wyoming Pastors Network and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Basic Human Decency Shouldn't Be Political, But It Is. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jonathan, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Todd, and God bless your show.
Folks, you'll find some great pro-life resources at lcms.org/life. That's the website for LCMS Life Ministry, advocating for the unborn, weak, and vulnerable, lcms.org/life. On the other side of the break, Cheryl Magnus is with us. We're going to spend some time talking with her about marriage lessons learned over, 30 years of marriage. Then we'll spend some time with Dr. Adam Francisco and talk about Islam and democracy. Are the two compatible with one another? Surprisingly, some voices within Islam say, maybe, but you're not going to like the results of that kind of democracy. Stay tuned.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Jesus the good teacher, Jesus the therapist, Jesus the giver of bling. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? By calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up?
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Stuck in traffic? Waiting in line at the grocery store? Do better than scrolling through pictures of your aunt's chai latte and your friend's distraught statuses regarding the football game on Facebook. Download the digital version of the Lutheran Witness and get your theological fix instead. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Tired of hearing about what you have to do for God? Then come hear what He has done for you. Receive His gifts of life and salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. If you think big screens belong in movie theaters, then you'll be right at home at Faith Lutheran Church in Beaufort, South Carolina. God's powerful saving word needs no gimmicks, so we simply teach the Word of God and administer His sacraments. We plant and water while God gives the growth. Faith Lutheran Church of Beaufort, South Carolina, where the Bible is still the Word of God and where we still speak the historic Christian liturgy. This is your grandfather's church. Come home.